Amen. It feels so good in church on Wednesday night. I'm so thankful for what I feel in this place. I'm just looking forward to what God is going to do for us over the next few moments. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we get into the Word. I'm just going to read one short scripture verse. If you want to turn with me to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, and we'll read one scripture verse there. I will endeavor not to keep us very long. Brother Luz, I hate to tell you this, but you wasted that. That was such a good thought, and you testified about it. You should have preached about it. You could have preached on that for a while. I've had people tell me before, you must not think, and they're exactly right. I don't very often, but when I do and I come across thoughts like that, I got to save them for Wednesday night messages. Amen. I'm picking on him a little bit, but that was a great thought. I may have to borrow that sometime. Amen. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Read that with me. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What a blessed promise we have in that one scripture verse. I'm so thankful for that. Close your Bibles, if you will. Let's go to prayer one more time. Mighty God, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for how you use it in our life to draw us closer to you, to bring peace and comfort into our life when we so desperately need it. Tonight, God, I'm so grateful for your word, the power of your word, your never-changing word that will never fade away. I'm so thankful for that hope and promise that we have in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen, amen. You can be seated. For the next few moments, I just want to speak to us, preach on this thought one more time, one more time. As Brother Marler said, if I say something good, just get with me. But I want to encourage you that if I don't say anything good at all, still get with me. Amen. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I say this often, but I do not believe that God works or operates or exists in the realm of accidents, but I do believe that God does everything on purpose, for a purpose, for his purpose. And I believe that God knew exactly where we would be at tonight in this present moment and who would be here and the word that he would have for us. Amen. There's a man by the name of Kobe Bryant. Most of us have probably heard that name, no doubt. And he has since passed away a few years ago in a helicopter accident. But he was one of the greatest NBA players that ever existed. But you go back to his rookie season in the NBA, and the LA Lakers made it to the playoffs that year. And they were playing a game 5 against the Utah Jazz. It was the final minutes of the game, and it was a pivotal moment in that series if they were going to advance to the next round of the playoffs. There were many players, star players, that had fouled out, and the responsibility of obtaining that win fell solely on Kobe Bryant's shoulders. And it was there in those final moments of the game that he would go on to miss the last 4 shots that he would take. And ultimately, the Lakers would lose that game, lose that series. And the story has been told that once they flew back to his home, that when he got off the plane, he went straight to the gym. And it was there that he would practice his jump shot over and over and over again until the sun would come up. He spent that whole summer, that off season, shooting the basketball over and over and over again, attempting to perfect his shot.
He would go on to the next season and they would find their opening game against the team that had put them out of the playoffs the previous year, the Utah Jazz. And it was in that game that he would go on to score some 25 points. And the rest was history for his career, because he would go down as one of the all-time leading scorers of the NBA. But I haven't come here tonight to preach about Kobe Bryant, but there is something that I wanted to bring out about him and so many other great shooters in the history of the game of basketball, and that's this: great shooters keep shooting. Oftentimes you hear coaches say that, great shooters keep shooting, and it's because they have confidence. They know that the first shot did not turn out like I wanted. I missed it. But they tell themselves to shoot the ball again. The second shot did not turn out like I wanted it to, but shoot the ball again. The third shot did not turn out like I wanted it to, but I shoot the ball again, because they know that I've got to keep shooting until I make it. We've heard the saying, when you fall off of a horse, you get back on it. And this is an adage about overcoming fear. But the principle is that you do it again. You get on the horse one more time. You've got to overcome fear of falling off. You've got to overcome fear of the horse. You've got to overcome the fear of all of the externals. But you have to get up and you have to do it one more time. There was a 19th century British writer that is credited with popularizing the proverb. And he says this: 'Tis a lesson you should heed. Try, try, try again. And if at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again. We find in Luke, the 13th chapter, verse number 6, that Jesus begins to speak this parable. And he says that a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, this is what the vine dresser said in rebuttal to the master that wanted to cut this tree down. He says to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that shall cut it down. There's something that jumped out to me when I read this parable about this vine dresser, and it's the fact that this vine dresser had an attitude that I want to try it one more time. We find that there was something that resided deep in this vine dresser, that he had initiative to not give up, that he was willing to work the tree again. He was willing to fertilize the tree again. He was willing to prune the tree again. He was willing to water the tree again. He was willing to give sweat in labor for the tree again. He says to this man, I will spend my energy. I'll give of my resources. Let's see what the tree can become. I know that you've come to this tree 1 year and it had no fruit. I know that you came to this tree a second year and it had no fruit. I know that you came to this tree a third year and it had no fruit. But let's give it one more time. I just believe that if I can pour sweat into it again, I just believe that if I give to it one more time, I just believe that if I take my hands and I work it one more time, that there's fruit that can come of this tree. I tell you that we've got to have that same perception in our life, that when we look at something and it's dead and it's barren and it's not producing what we think that it ought to produce, that then and there in that place and in that season, that there ought to be something that rises up within us that says, you know what, I'm going to pour water on the roots one more time. You know what, I'm going to get out my shovel and I'm going to dig around it one more time. time. You know what? It may cost me something. It may expend my energy and my effort and my resources, but I just believe that if I keep pouring into it, I just believe that if I put my hand to the plow again, I just believe that if I rake up enough dirt around it one more time, that in that fourth year, that we can see fruit being born off the branches of that tree. I just believe that I'm speaking to someone tonight that you've looked at a tree that has existed in your life and it hasn't borne any fruit. The leaves have withered, the branches have broken off. But I want to tell somebody to go to your closet, go to your shed, go to your garage, get out your rake, get out your shovel, get out your hoe. I want to tell somebody to go down, come on, to the market and gather up some dirt. Come on, to get some mulch, to get some fertilizer, and go to that thing that looks dead and begin to pour into it, because I just believe that if you'll pour into it, come on, that God can bless that effort, that God can bless that work if you'll just go do it one more time. Now, I know that I'm speaking to a people that can attest that attempting one more time after a season of barrenness, after a season of rejection, after a season of hearing no, after a season of feeling and experiencing difficulties and disappointments, that it's not something that comes natural to us, that it often flows against the flesh, that it often goes against our natural inclination, which is to give up, to move on, to do something different. And like the owner of this vineyard, just cut it down. Let's throw it in the fire. Let's grind up the stump. Let's make it look like it was never there. But I'm telling you that there's somebody that's got to go against what the flesh would say, that you got to go against what our natural inclination is. And I want to encourage somebody, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't move on. Come on, but keep working it. Keep pouring into it. Come on, grab a hold of it one more time. Pour into it one more time. Give your resources, your energy, your time to it, your attention one more time. I ask us to examine that thing, that place in our life, and ask ourselves the question, what could be if we tried just one more time? What would happen if I went to it one more time? What would happen if I was willing just to pour into it one more time? What could become? What would it look like? What would the outcome be? What would the result be? What would the harvest look like if I was willing to just give it one more time? I tell you that sometimes God will come knocking on our door, the door to our heart, and ask us to do it one more time. It doesn't make sense. It seems like it's crazy. Why would we ever give it another try? But we find in Luke that Jesus asked one of his dearest disciples, Peter, to do just what I'm speaking to us about tonight. The Bible records that when he had left speaking, that Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And we find that Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And we know from one of the most famous parables that we often hear in church services that when he had did this, that they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net. Broke. I'm speaking to someone tonight that's toiled all the night long. Toiling means you worked. Toiling means you put forth effort. Toiling means you sweated. Toiling means you grieved. Toiling means that you shed tears. Toiling means that it took a lot out of you. Toiling means that you had to spend a lot, that there was a great expense, that it cost you a lot. And how did it feel when you looked up and your hands were still empty, that your nets didn't have anything in it, and you did it again, and it was the same result. You did it again, and it was the same result. The Bible says that they did it all the night long. We know how long nights are, and not all nights are created equal. Some are much longer than others. Can you imagine Peter being in this boat, and how long a night it was for him to pull that net in over over and over again just to cast it out and pull it back in again. There was nothing in the net. He was wishing. He was hoping. He was dreaming. He was desiring. But at the end, it was just an empty net. Oh, but there was a Jesus that stepped on the scene and he gave a word. Why don't you cast that net again? And what I find interesting here was Jesus didn't argue. Peter didn't argue. Peter didn't resist. Peter didn't reject. Peter didn't put up a wall. Peter didn't put up a shield. Peter didn't try to duck. And Peter didn't try to dodge. But we find that he followed the word of God and he let down his net. And we know what the result was, that he gathered in and that net was so full that he had to call others over to help him gather the fish in. I wonder what would happen if in our life that we would do just like Peter, where we've been toiling all the night long, casting that net out, drawing it back in, only to find it barren, only to find it empty, only to find it without the thing that we most desire. But we relent, we give in, we submit, and we yield to the word of God. I'm telling you that we can never go wrong yielding to the word of God. We can never go wrong listening to the word of God. We can never go wrong placing our hope, our faith, and our trust in the word of God. I want to tell you something tonight, church, that God will honor obedience. God works the miraculous through our obedience. Oftentimes, it doesn't make sense to us, but if we yield like Peter yielded, I believe that we can experience the miraculous like Peter experienced. I wonder what Peter's thought process was when Jesus told him to do the same thing that he had already been doing all night long. I'm telling you that God honors obedience. Matthew, the 6th chapter says this: whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. If you want to have unshakable faith, you just trust in God. Because God said, if you'll obey my commands, if you'll obey my sayings, if you'll hear my word, and not only just hear it, but if you'll do it, you'll be like that man that built his house upon a rock. I don't know about you, but I want to have unshakable faith. I want my house to be built upon a foundation that can't be brought down, and that comes through the obedience of God. If God says, do it again, we must do it again. It's difficult. It's inconvenient. It's painful. But we do it again. It hurts. It costs a lot. It's not what I want. It's very, very difficult for me. But we do it again. I tell you tonight that we must do it one more time. Matthew, the 5th chapter says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on thy right cheek, you turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twice. Now I know that Jesus is teaching us about giving more than what is required, but I'm telling you that here he's also asking us to do something that we've already done. We've already been slapped across one cheek. We've already felt the sting. We've already experienced the pain. We've already seen the handprint across our cheek. But Jesus says, you know what? I want you to do it one more time, and I want you to let them do it again on the other cheek. We've already walked 1 mile. We carried a heavy burden. It was awfully lonely. There was no one else walking it it with us. It was dark. It was lonely. We felt incomplacent. We felt out of touch. We felt disconnected. And Jesus says, it's on that mile that I'm going to ask you to do it one more time, to go a second time. I'm speaking to somebody right now that you've been doing it. You've been praying. You've been seeking. You've been reaching. You've been watering. You've been sowing. And you haven't yet reaped the results that you were hoping for. But I'm telling you that God sent me by on a Wednesday night to encourage someone to do it one more time. It doesn't seem likely, but we do it one more time. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but we do it one more time. It seems impossible, but we do it one more time. All the odds are stacked against us, but we do it one more time. Everyone's betting against us, but we do it one more time. Luke, the 18th chapter, says that there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Sometimes we just have to get the tenacity. We just have to get the determination of this widow woman. Something that bubbles up, that surfaces up, that rises within us that says, you know what? I'm just going to continue to knock on that door. I'm just going to continue to ask. I'm going to continue to bother. I don't care, but I'm going to just keep pressing. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep walking one foot in front of the other because I just believe that I can get my answer. I just believe that I can get what I desire. I just believe that I can get, come on, it can turn around for me. It can go my way. I can get my answer. The miracle can happen for me. The door can open for me. I can get my blessing. Lest she continues to come and weary me. We've seen it on coffee cups. We've seen it on t-shirts. We've read it posted on Facebook 7,355 times. It's been posted everywhere. And the man that they attribute this saying to, Albert Einstein, there's not 1 ounce of proof that he ever said this, but it sounds good nonetheless. And it's this, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Now, I had not thought about this all day, but when I was studying upstairs before service, I thought about that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I thought to myself, no, that's not insanity. You know what that is? I'm going to tell you what that is. That's faith. That's somebody saying, you know what? I've been told no, and I've been told no again. I've asked, and I've already asked again, and I've asked again. And they say I'm insane, but no, I say I'm a faith-filled believer, and I just believe in faith that if I keep asking that God will answer. If I keep going to my knees in prayer, that the darkness can be rolled back. Come on, the clouds can part and the sunshine can come again. It's not insanity to keep doing it over and over again. It's faith. They say you're crazy because you keep coming to church, but I'm telling you, you keep coming till you get your breakthrough. They say that you're crazy because you keep dancing and shouting and praising God, yet you still go back to the same chaos, the same darkness, and the same turmoil in your life. But I'm telling you that you're not crazy, that's not insanity, that's faith, that you're filled with faith. You know who your God is and what He's capable of and where He sits tonight on the throne of all supremacy and power and majesty. They say you're insane because you're still praying for your children and nothing has turned around in their life. But I'm telling you that you're not crazy, that you're not insane. You're just filled with faith. Is there anybody that's filled with faith in this house? Is there anybody that says, I'm going to keep praying? I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep marching. I'm going to keep dancing. I'm going to keep shouting. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep testifying. I'm going to keep sowing. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to stay in the Word of God. It doesn't look like it's changing. It doesn't look like it's turning. It looks like I'm getting the same results that I've always gotten. I want to tell you that faith says keep expecting. Faith says do it over again. Faith says keep on keeping on. Keep marching, keep praising, keep singing, keep worshiping, keep praying. I'm telling you that God is here to break a yoke. Come on, to pull the chains of bondage off of someone. I'm telling you that all things are possible through Him. We don't serve a Wednesday night God. I'm telling you that God is as real and powerful on a Wednesday night in April as He is on a hot, red, fiery revival Sunday night. I'm telling you that if God can do it on Sunday morning, that God can do it on a Wednesday night. I'm telling you that work doesn't bind us. Come on, weariness doesn't bind our faith, but we rise up and we say, I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to go again. I'm going to preach again. I'm going to reach again. I'm going to water the tree again. I'm going to work the tree again. I'm going to plow the field again. I'm going to plant the seeds again, because I just believe that my faith says keep doing it over and over again. Keep expecting different results, because something's going to break. Something's going to change. Something's going to happen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm getting ready to close. I want to share a story with you where the genesis of this thought came from. And I'm going to try to retell this story the best I can, but y'all got to forgive me if I get details wrong. But the main point of the story is what I want us to get tonight. But I was recently speaking with a pastor from North Mississippi, and he was sharing this story with me that happened to him some time back. But their church has a fairly large school bus that they pick kids up with on Sunday mornings. And he was telling me that there is this route that they take, and it requires them, it has a one-way in and a one-way out. And you can imagine driving this school bus that it's kind of tight to turn. The turns are tight. So they have to go in and they have to make this loop. And they make this loop and they pick up the children and they make the loop and they come back around and they exit the neighborhood. And he said this Sunday morning was just like all the other Sunday mornings. He was making his bus route, picking these children up, and he enters into the neighborhood and he makes the loop in the neighborhood. And as he's making that final turn, he's getting ready to hit the exit. He said the Lord spoke to him, and he told me that it was as clear as the Lord has ever spoken to him before. He said it was as though it was the sound of me speaking to you all right now. That's how clear it was. And he said the Lord told him to make the loop again. And he said that he began to argue with the Lord. And he didn't tell me this, but I just imagine that he was like so many of us. This bus is awfully hard to get into this tight space. I've got to hurry to get to church. I've picked up everyone that we're accustomed to picking up. What's the point? All the reasons why we're not going to do it again. And he says that he's having this battle in his mind between him and the Lord. And he said that there's this 6-year-old little girl that gets up out of her seat in the back of the bus. And she makes her way up and she taps him and gets his attention. And he turns around and looks at her. And he said, yeah. And she said, Bishop, we need to turn the bus around and make the loop again. And he said, yes, baby, we need to. So he puts the bus back in drive, and he begins to make the loop around the neighborhood one more time. And he says as he's making this loop that he sees this woman that had not previously been standing there on this side of the road. And he stops in front of her, and she's got tears streaming down her face. And she's looking down at the ground, and he opens the door to the bus, and he invites her to church. And they have 3 o'clock service. And she said, well, I've already been to church this morning. She said, but I was standing here, and I was praying to God, is there a church in this city that I can go to where I can feel your presence? Because she had been to these other churches and she had not felt the presence of God, and she knew that there was something more. There was a longing within her for her to experience more than what she had already experienced. And so she gets on that bus and the pastor drives her to church. She prayed through to the Holy Ghost that day and she was baptized in Jesus' name. And he told me that just a few months ago that she passed away. And he said, I know where she's at today. And he began to tell me that story, and there were tears that were streaming down my face. I apologized to him for my reaction because there were several others that were standing around, but I told him that just stirred me up. It was all because he was willing to do it one more time, in spite of time pressure, in spite of responsibilities, in spite of inconveniences, in spite of doubt, in spite of fear, and despite of worry, willing to do it one more time. And I ask us this question tonight: what would happen if we went to prayer one more time? What would happen if we invited one more time? What would happen if we testified one more time? What would happen if we sacrificed one more time? What would happen if we reached out one more time? What could be the results of our situation, of our circumstance, if our dilemma, if we had one more conversation with God, if we had one more conversation with that person that we've had friction with? What would happen if with our situation, if we went to the altar just one more time? Stand with me tonight. I tell you that some walls do not come down after just one lap around. Sometimes we have to do the insane faith-filled thing, and we have to make 7 laps around before we see a breakthrough, before we step through in victory, before we step through in our promise. I tell you that sometimes victory requires us to try one more time. My request tonight is that every one of us would make a self-examination of our life, and that we would ask God to help us to see what it is that we need to do one more time. No doubt every one of us has situations in our life that we've been praying for, that we've been petitioning God for, that we've been asking Him about and asking Him for. But I want to tell you tonight that God wants to encourage someone to do it one more time. We have to be sensitive like this man of God to the voice of God and be willing, as Peter did, submit, yield, and relent, because it's through our obedience that we experience the miraculous. It's through our obedience that we experience the breakthrough. It's through our obedience to the Word of God that victory comes our way. You've had a heavy yoke that's been around your neck. You've had the heavy burden that's been pressing you down. You have felt that yoke around you. I want to tell you that God wants to give someone peace, that God wants to give someone comfort in their heart. Sometimes we try to connect the dots ourselves and it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we try to make the list and put it in the order that we want things to work themselves out in. I'm telling you that God doesn't work on our time, and He doesn't do things the way that we do them. But I'm telling you that God sees us, that God hears us, that God knows exactly where we're at. And I just believe that He's knocking on the door of someone's heart and asking them, will you do it one more time? Will you come before me one more time when you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, when you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like turning around and going the other way, when you feel like not lifting your head off your pillow in the morning, when you feel like that you can't sleep at night? I'm telling you that God wants you to have one more conversation with Him. God wants you to pray to Him one more time. God wants you to get into His Word one more time. God wants you to reach for Him one more time. What some would say is insane and insanity, I'm telling you that it's faith. It's a faith-filled believer. You're just a child of God. You're just someone that's innocent enough to believe. You're just someone that's innocent enough to believe that if I keep doing it again, it's that childlike faith where we just believe that God can do anything. My daddy can do anything. There's no one stronger than Him. There's no one bigger than my daddy. There's no one that can overtake Him. There's no one that can do more than Him. But my God can do anything. They're going to play a song. I just invite us to pray as we get ready to close. Mighty God, You see this precious group of believers. I pray tonight, God, that You would touch every heart that's here. You see the weak and You see the weary, Lord. I pray, God, that You would help them. Lord, as we read in Your Word, let us not be weary in well-doing. We believe that a season is coming where we're going to reap if we just don't faint. Help us to do it one more time. Help us to keep in the race, Lord. Help us to keep putting one foot in front of the other, Lord. I pray that You would strengthen our grip and You would help us to hang on, God. When everything is pulling against us, I pray, God, that You would help us to hold on. When everything is opposing us, Lord, I pray that You would help us to hold on. I pray, Lord, for the strength of the saints tonight, God. I pray for their heart tonight, Lord, where they don't understand, where it doesn't make sense, where it seems impossible, where we can't figure it out, where we don't have the answers, where why keeps plaguing our mind and our heart, where we keep hearing the drum beat of the questions and the concerns. I pray, God, that You would help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fastened upon You. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to see Your hand in this, to hear Your voice in this, to see Your plan unfold, Lord. We trust in You. It's not easy, Lord, but help us to throw the net out one more time. It's not convenient, God, but help us to dress the tree one more time. Lord, we want to be like that man that built his house upon a rock by simply obeying Your Word. Lord, I pray, God, that You would help us. We trust in You, Lord. We trust in You.